702 for the curious.
Streaming countrywide on the 702 app.
It's 13 minutes after 9. Onga Mamdimka is already on standby. He's a political analyst and lecturer at Nelson Mandela University. Ongama, thank you very much for joining us. I really appreciate your time, sir.
Good evening, Aubrey. Thank you for having me.
So the NGC, tell us a little bit about it. What is this gathering all about? I know the ANC has got many, many different meetings where different, I suppose, levels of leadership discuss. What is the NGC about?
Yeah, so the ANC has these, and if my memory serves me well, it's been in the democratic period where midterm they take a review of the policies which have been adopted, and they look at the extent to which those have been made. And what I've seen also is that the discussion documents leading up to the next conference of the party start emerging. And so it's not uncommon to have proposals for the next conference also getting to be presented at the NGC. I think it's a good direction in terms of where the likely policy path of the party is going to be in the next 2 years leading up to the conference of the party, as much as it is about taking stock of where the party may be in terms of its resolutions. But over the years, yeah. I must say, Aubrey, over the years, these conferences have been organized to deal a lot more with the politics of the day than the substantive issues. Less so for the NGC, but very interestingly, this one is very peculiar in the sense that there are agitations to actually change even the object of that NGC, and because of the peculiar way in which the post 54th conference political environment of the ANC has been.
Yes. So what is it that they are hoping to change it to, and what would those issues that they would want to raise that would under normal circumstances not be raised at an NGC be? My sense, and that's probably why we're having this conversation, is that there's been a lot of talk about the possibility of the recalling of President Cyril Ramaphosa. How feasible is that? How possible is that really, Ongama?
Yeah, so what we've seen, even though this is not necessarily a platform where it's not an elective conference, and generally its agenda is mainly the emergent policy direction of the party, more than the leadership realignments. But we have seen in very important NGCs, for example, I think 2 years before the Polokwane conference, maybe in 2005, where a lobby around reinstating Jacob Zuma, gained significant traction. And in fact, it was part of those resolutions, as it became quite clear that the tide was turning in his favor in internal ANC party politics. So while the tradition is that it's not an elective platform, the way in which the pro-Zuma or pro-Ace Magashule camp has been organizing, you would not take out from them the possibility to actually want to push through that motion. It's been rumored already. And there are alleged agitations and realignments of forces within the party, and we've seen, for example, the breaking of ranks leading up to this conference. For me, the bravado which being from people like Ace Magashule, David Mabuza, God. In terms of the acceptance of President Ramaphosa, now there's some ructions there. All of this for me suggests that they are emboldened by a plan which they know that the backlash that may come personally for themselves for breaking ranks is less than the alleged plan which they seem to have. If they weren't bolstered by it or emboldened by it, they wouldn't take that much personal risk in breaking ranks with the leadership and established positions within the party.
And you believe that that signals perhaps the possibility of a call for President Cyril Ramaphosa to vacate his presidency as president of the ANC?
At best, depending on who is looking at it, it signals that he could come out of that NGC severely neutralized. At worst, it actually may mean that he gets removed. Now, I'm qualifying to say depending on who's looking at it. Mm. If you're looking at it from a stability point of view in the country, then I think it's a proper characterization.
If and let's look a little bit at the mechanics of this idea, this plan, this emboldenment that you've just described. I'm seeing the emergence of young Zuma, young Duduzani Zuma, beginning to emerge in political talk. You know, he's always been a little bit of a maverick, a little bit of an obscure figure in politics. I'm seeing him emerge. What is his role in all of this? What is his role going to be, or what is it emerging it as?
It's very interesting. One thing for sure is that he's on a charm offensive. He wants to be, he's positioning himself in the public psyche as a political figure to be reckoned with. What he wants to do with that, I don't know yet. But if one looks at what Anile Lungisa said shortly before, you know, Duduzani made the showing, I think, at the stadium at the January 8th, if not after that.
Yes.
That these are leaders, him and Mthabo Dlamini, are leaders to be watched. And, you know, all that to me suggests that this is not just a haphazard thing where Duduzani just shows up in a party event, in two party events.
The donation of money to students.
These are not haphazard. These are very deliberate strategies to actually reframe Duduzani as a people's person. And I think he's following on the footsteps of President Zuma there in attempting to charm the masses. One thing for sure is on the charm offensive. What's coming out, I mean, we're not here to discuss rumors, but what is the... but sometimes, you know, you got to listen to the grapevine in order to kind of get a sense of or reading the tea leaves, as it were.
Yeah.
So it appears that part of the plan, some people say, is around, for example, him becoming president of the Youth League, which to me, by the way, though it's ambiguous in terms of, I mean, you don't want family dynasties. Democracies are not meant to be that. This is not, we would rather not follow the example of the countries where family dynasties ruled. So it's an ambiguous, and it's ambiguous in that sense. But it's for me, it gives me less anxiety compared to him being touted as one of the major leaders of the party or plan.
We've just heard that the ANC's ANC's Youth League ANC Youth League's elective conference, which was supposed to happen sometime this year, has now been postponed to another time. Would even in the RET faction, would there be a support for Jacob Zuma's son, or, well, let me say Duduzani Zuma, given the fact that he doesn't really have a political pedigree, a political history?
You know, to answer that, something would need to be said about the nature of support behind President Zuma. It's cultic. It's built around the personality cult of the president, and in fact, nostalgic and stuck in the role that he played, not as president per se, but in the liberation struggle. If I listened to Ace Magashule speaking recently, that Zuma's role mustn't be forgotten in the liberation struggle, notwithstanding the chaos and destruction that he subsequently did while state president. So for me, there's no rationality to the support behind the former president, and I don't think they would stop at anything in imposing to Tuzani Zuma, you know, to carry on whatever the agenda may be.
I'm reliably told that even if he had such aspirations to become ANC Youth League leader, as per the predictions the suggestions by Andile Lungisa that he and Mqebo Dlamini are the people to look at, he wouldn't qualify, I suppose, in terms of the constitution of the ANC Youth League, because he's 36 years old, which makes him a year older than the qualifying age. But we've seen with people such as the guy that they used to call Oros, what's his name? Maine. Is it Maine? I think it's Maine.
Yes.
Who became ANC Youth League president at a very mature age. So I don't put that past the machinations of the ANC Youth League or the ANC. But what of that? What of the fact that he's 36 years old? Could that not be launched as a very, very significant opposition, just not even because of his ideas, ideology, but rather just simply because of the fact that he's just old to be ANC Youth League president?
Yes. So the stalemate within the party could cause that, you know, that dismissal of the name, but it would not be a function of the fact of the desire of the five back grouping. If it was up to them, as far as I see things, he would be installed, or whatever the agenda is, you know. What I've seen, you know, Aubrey, is that that does not seem to be regard for legality or rules-based engagement. For me, I think nothing stops. If nothing stops the group from mobilizing to topple a sitting president, notwithstanding the silence, notwithstanding the silence of the constitution, because I've been seeing that as much as the NEC during the time that President Zuma, there were agitations for his removal. The defense was always, only the elective conference of the ANC has got that mandate. Yes. So if people think creatively around that proviso, I don't think anything else limits them.
My penultimate question, Ongama, is the Cyril Ramaphosa faction, CR17, call it whatever you want, are they aware, do you think, of this? And I'm sure they are, but are they ready, in your opinion, for such an eventuality that at the NGC, some sort of an attack for the position of presidency could be launched by people that belong to the RET sort of faction? Are they aware? Have they, in your understanding, have they done what they can, or are they just relying on the rules and the constitutionalism of the ANC?
I'm sure they are. These things are not completely secret, otherwise we wouldn't be discussing them.
Yeah.
But I'm sure they are. And the same way they won the conference, which is the rule in the ANC, by the way, unwritten rule, that you fund a campaign and it has to have lots of recruit soldiers on the ground from national to all the way to branch level in the smallest corner in the country. And so my assumption is that there would be a lot of work that's happening beneath the surface to try and secure at least a stalemate or victory for one of the groups. So both of them would be very much aware of each other as machinations. But in fact, in the end, it's always known ahead of the conference whether or not the balance of forces favors one grouping or another.
Finally, I hear that the group that is aligned to President Jacob Zuma, Ismail Kashule, and so forth is called the Radical Economic Transformation, right? What in the policies of President Jacob Zuma or in his presidency remotely represents Radical Economic Transformation?
I'd say maybe the closest would be the attempt, but even it, the attempt to get, you know, the Mineral and Petroleum Resources Act revised as per the guidance of the ANC when in Mangaung it refused to accept nationalization, but rather a greater role for the state in the economy. So that would be the closest. Even it shows a strong sense of pragmatism, and it's a centrist idea, center-left idea. That
yes.
There isn't, and I say this, Aubrey, that in the ANC, concepts are exploited more for their political value
yes.
than what they mean by
ideologically.
Themselves.
Yeah.
So there is no need. There isn't a Jacob Zuma that's the father of RET. In the same way, by the way, that none in the ANC currently want to courageously pursue those policies. It's neither President Ramaphosa nor President Zuma. The ANC has assumed a more center-left and centrist stance since the advent of democracy. And to change that will require things beyond itself. Because remember, developing countries exist within a global capitalist economy.
Mm.
As we saw with Greece, what happens with countries that take on policies too much to the extreme? The international system itself corrects those. So there's just no room. They know, even the RET people, that there's no room for the policies that are being pursued. But there's genuine support, for things like sovereign wealth fund, as well as the other things that have been highlighted, because notwithstanding the fact that the people who are carrying, who are pursuing them have no legitimacy at all beyond the ANC, some of the arguments being made actually make sense.
Ongabam Dimka, thank you very much for your time, sir. I really appreciate it, and I hope to talk to you again sometime soon.